again. This is the old. Good morning, man, Kermit Edney, with chapter number 235 in a series of 260 programs dealing with the happenings and the people who made things happen over the past 50 years, the WHKP years since 1946. Today, a remembrance of the master of country ham and red-eye gravy, and also we'll share with you something about one of the sons of Blanche and Otho Blackwell. While I had come in contact with Truman Westmoreland in his work with the Farmers Home Administration here, I really got to know Truman and his attractive wife, Chick, through our association in the Kiwanis Club. Back in the 50s, maybe still so, if you were a member of the board of directors, once each year you were to host the other members of the board for a meeting at your house where you'd serve them all dinner. Some wives objected to these added chores, and once in a great while a member would simply take the board to a local restaurant and pick up the tab. Chick Westmoreland never objected because her old man Truman billed himself as the master of country ham and red-eye gravy and grits, and as such he reigned over the kitchen on Kiwanis night. The last time I had the pleasure of breaking bread at the Westmoreland house, Dr. Fred Trotter had put me on an ulcer diet, and he sat next to me at the meeting. And Trotter made sure that all I ate was a small bowl of grits and a patty of butter. The next day, Trotter examined me and gave me a sneaky grin he was known for and said, "Ah, you ain't got no ulcer. Eat anything you want to." "But why did you make me stick to grits last night?" And he laughed real heartily. He says, "A guy like you that lives that crazy life of yours, getting up at those wee hours of the dawn, need to be sat down and eat what's good for him once in a while." Dr. Fred Trotter, he was not only second in importance to Nick Fortescue in raising the money to build Party Hospital, but he accepted a very active role in community life. As well as serving as president of the Kiwanis Club, he was active in many other civic activities. But back to Truman. I never did really ask Truman, but I imagine he came from the great Westmoreland family over around Marion, because some of his tall tales included claiming that he herded 50 head of cattle 80 miles through Asheville to McDowell County. Truman's job was more than just lending money to help farmers to get going or to modernize or to improve. He also had the responsibility to advise farmers in business practices to help them make money. And back in the 30s, when Truman first started working for FMHA, that little M is to clarify distinction, it's Farmers Home Administration, back in the beginning, the agency made only one kind of loan, and when True retired, they were making 23 different kinds. When Westmoreland first came to Hendersonville, the FMHA had a policy, this was in 46, of having a cap, a maximum of $5,000 to be loaned on any farm, even of more than 100 acres. At the time True retired in 1975, you couldn't find 1 acre for $5,000. Today, probably twice that amount. Truman recalled that when he first started, you could help a fellow acquire 10 or 15 cows and open a profitable dairy farm. That number is closer to 100 to 150 cows now. And the hazards of failing are even greater today than back in the 40s. And the article we did earlier shows that fewer and fewer small farms are operating and will operate in the future. Farming is now high-tech, capital demanding, and a bad freeze, a hailstorm, an infestation of bugs or fungus, or even the influx of one of the dread diseases can literally wipe out the average family farm. There's also a local man who spent his life working in research to support the family farm, and that's Harley Blackwell, director of the North Carolina Agricultural Experiment Station near the Asheville Airport. I grew up knowing the Blackwell family. There was Blanche and Otho, the parents. One of their sons, Kenneth, worked for us here at WHKP for a number of years. The last I heard, he was in broadcasting in the Richmond area. There were sisters, Nora, who married Paul Green, Laura, who became a highly skilled registered nurse. There were also Branch Blackwell and Pearl Blackwell Lauder. And then there was Harley. He spent most of the years of his life up to retirement as superintendent at the experiment station. I'm glad I didn't have to interview one of Harley's mentors when he came to Fletcher to announce a comprehensive study of apple disease. The man who announced this program on apples was the assistant head of the state agricultural experiment stations, and his name was Dr. Lawrence Apple. I had in earlier days in my career interviewed a state college professor of horticulture at the Western Carolina Fair. And when he told me his name was George Turnipseed, I laughed heartily and said, "Oh, come on, what's your real name?" Being wet behind the ears, I didn't know there was a large, prominent family of turnip seeds in eastern North Carolina. Harley, being another boy locally born and bred, fit the mold. He couldn't say no to anything that bettered the area. He, too, took an active role in civic affairs of all kinds, and among many other distinctive positions Harley held was president of the North Carolina Society of Farm Managers and Rural Appraisers, of all things. I have a feeling our agricultural community would still be way back down the road had it not been for people like Truman Westmoreland and Harley Blackwell. And I wouldn't dare mention the name Westmoreland without including Chicora, who spent her entire life teaching our kids in the city school system. And Chick practiced back then what is frequently absent in today's profession. She was concerned about that child when he got out of school and didn't mind giving the parents a few pointers on what the child needed. Marvelous memories of this seventh child of a seventh child, lucky enough to have been born here, the good sense never to leave, and with a job he's loved all his life. So some callers, we begin the next 50 years.